This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
I'm Juan Campo of the UCSB Department of Religious Studies, and we've just seen a marvelous film written and directed by Sam Cotty, who is in the third one down in our row for me. And then we have two very special guests in addition to Sam this evening, William Atherton, Bill, and and Rizwan Manji. Yeah, so I'll be talking more and asking Sam more about his experience in making films and his background. But I'd like to briefly introduce Bill and Riz to you tonight as well. Of course, they're both very well-known actors, and I'm sure they're familiar to all of you. Bill has been in, has 91 film and stage credits to his name through his years of acting. And you may have seen him in such spectacular films and memorable films. In fact, his first feature film was The Sugarland Express that he starred in, played the lead role in with Goldie Hawn. And that was Steven Spielberg's first feature film. He's also in John Schlesinger's The Day of the Locust and The Hindenburg, Looking for Mr. Goodbar, a classic film from when I was in graduate school back at the University of Chicago. I saw that, very memorable one. But I'm sure all of you also know him as the star in Ghostbusters. in fact, three Ghostbusters movies, right? playing the role of an EPA official who in the latest version of Ghostbusters...
got promoted to mayor.
He's now mayor. And he's the kind of character that you love to hate, right? And he's very memorable in that capacity. He kind of fulfills that that role in the film we saw this evening as well. So his most recent film is currently running, the Ghostbusters, the Frozen Empire. Riz is also has many credits that to his name. It's over 130, as I recall, and both in film and television. He is well known as the character Rajiv Gidwani on Outsourced, an NBC series that ran for a number of years. And most recently, he's in the film Peacemaker, where he plays the role of Jamil. And he was also in the famous series Schitt's Creek. And other films he's done recently are Shazam and Mustache. So to give you a little bit of an idea of the background and the diverse roles that that both of our guests tonight have played, and we're very honored to have you both here with us tonight to share something about your experiences on this particular film, but also how it might link up to other things that you've done in your career. So this film was Sam Cotty's first feature film. It premiered in 2012, right? So we're 12 years since it first appeared. And Sam himself had only just arrived in the United States, an immigrant from Syria in the year 2000, just before the 9/11 attacks. In a way, his story kind of plays off of that of Ibrahim's story in the film that we saw tonight. So, Sam, this was your first feature film. And Bill and Riz, what led you to take a chance to do a feature film with Sam, not even knowing what kind of filmmaker he was and what this film was about, and what attracted you to play the roles that you did and to join in the film?
Well, I was very grateful to be asked, because it was like 10 years after 9/11. And as an old New Yorker, it was a signature event in everybody's life. And I was so grateful with Sam to see, we were talking about this before, another culture, another point of view of the world that I had absolutely no intelligence about. And I thought I did. I thought I was, you know, the world's cosmopolitan person. But at the same time, this was another world. The people were going through things that I had absolutely no idea about. And had these emotions just like any of ours, but from a culture that was not embraced in this country, and quite most of the country was quite ignorant about it. And that kind of lovely humanity, particularly from Khalid and everyone here, it was unique. And I felt I should be a part of that. And I felt I should learn from that. And so I felt very humble about being a part of it. I had simply had no awareness of it before. The apartment building that I lived in New York for many years, I faced uptown. Our neighbors and great friends faced downtown, had a big window, and there was the World Trade Center. And the idea when I went back, it wasn't there. And what was it in the world that made people so angry? What was it that got so out of control? What was it in terms of my own kind of feeling about anybody I wasn't aware of, that I had to learn about, that I had to have sympathy and empathy for, and that I think essentially just as an actor, I felt even being the bad guy, I was more of a bad guy than I had been used to being, because I felt there had to be something that could bring out something else. And so that essentially in a beginning way is why I love being a part of it. I love working with Sam. And I feel, after all of these years, it's still something that moves me a lot when I think about being a part of it.
That's lovely.
Ruth? Well, to be perfectly honest, 13 years ago, I would have taken anything. And I did take a lot of things that I regret, but I was very lucky that I got offered this, and it was... It was, you know, you read it and it's hard not to get emotional. I also was living in New York during 9/11, and I actually had I was temping. I temped at the World Financial Center, and it was one of those things where, right, my boss at the World Financial Center, the guy who, the last temp job that I had was with this guy, and he ended up passing away because he was giving a conference at the World Trade Center on the day of 9/11. So it was a really, that whole thing, it was dealing with emotions on both sides. I'm also Muslim, I also look the way I look, but I also was dealing with that aspect of it, of knowing somebody who had passed away in the attacks and everything that was going on. So reading the script had sort of, you know, all these emotions, and then I remember even, like, I think while we were shooting it, there was a lot of times where it was bringing up all these things again. So it was definitely tough because it was bringing up all these things. But I'm so happy to have been a part of it because it was such a wonderful script.
Yeah, I mean, I think I should jump in. Right?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I've been quiet more than normal.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel like I am and I was incredibly, incredibly lucky to work with these gentlemen, amazing actors. And I think kudos to our casting director and who wanted to be here today, Lisa Hamill. Who I think put together an incredible ensemble as far as, you know, actors and the ideas that she was, you know, giving to me as a first-time filmmaker. You know, that's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I remember, you know, she's talking to me about Bill and about Cary Elwes, and I was like, you think they're gonna work with me? You know, you think this is possible? You know, and she always used to say, it's on the paper, it's in your script, it's mm-hmm. that's where the power, you yeah. know, is, and you actually you need to feel, you know, proud of what you wrote, you and your writing partners, because this is powerful, and it's just you need actors who kind of like can relate in one way or another. I mean, regardless on which, you know, on which which side they were on and what were they doing and where they were and you know, in the world around that time, but just to, you know, trying to see the world in a different lens, and the fresh perspective that I wanted to present, you know, to the people. I felt the urge to do that, and working with Lisa and, you know, and, you know, proposing, you know, Bill and Rizwan and Carrie. I mean, the only, I think, cast that I felt I was 100% in charge of was Khalid. Hmm. Because Khalid was 100% my choice. I mean, all these actors that definitely I wanted to work with, but Khalid, because the rest of our team and our producers, as like, they didn't know who Khalid was. And everybody, including our, you know, financiers, and is like, well, that's on you, because you know the culture, you know the actors, and they wanted to cast somebody who, you know, lived in the States, and I was like, no, I wanna bring somebody who is foreign to this, you know, to this world, and I want him to feel and to put on the screen the feelings that I felt when I first landed in New York. You know, it's like a little kid in a candy shop, and I wanted that you know, that feeling and that vibes, and I was familiar with college work, so this is a different story, because I ended up, you know, flying to Egypt and casting over there and meeting with him. But again, you know, working with, I mean, Rizwan, I remember me and my producing partner Chris Wyatt, which is, you know, it was very odd for me and Chris to get on a film, because Chris White, he produced a movie that, you know, most of you might know, Napoleon Dynamite. So the Napoleon Dynamite producer partnered also, you know, we partnered up and we worked on The Citizen, which is totally two different movies, absolutely.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, so, but we were both so excited about Rizwan. That time he was in Outsourced. And I was like, you know, what do you think of Rizwan? I was like, oh my God, we love Rizwan. You know, can we get him? So we called Lisa. I remember, it's like, we want to audition Rizwan, see if he's, you know, if he's willing to, you know, to come audition for us. And he came to the room, and we didn't tell Rizwan, but we were so excited that he showed up. You know, after he left the room, it's like, we're looking at each other, me and Chris. It was like, yes, yeah, that's Mo. Yeah, let's get Mo. We were really extremely happy about that. So it was definitely an honor, and I was privileged just, you know, to work with the entire cast and Bill, and his resume. Just looking at his resume is very intimidating for sure for me. And, you know, remembering Ghostbusters and Die Hard. And I was like, and we're looking for the bad guy. And I was like, wow, that would be perfect, man, if he says yes. So definitely it was, you know, I'm grateful for that opportunity, for sure.
Khalid Nebawi had been in a number of Arab films, but also a few Western films as well. Kingdom of Heaven, I believe,
sure,
was in
with
that.
Ridley Scott, mm-hmm, was in Kingdom of Heaven.
But he
and
wasn't well known to
Fair
the
Game,
American film audience, but definitely in Egypt he's very well known, and he has, I think, quite a following.
Oh, he's a huge star. You can talk about this because we...
Yes, I was going to ask you.
No. First of all, Khalid is fabulous. Second of all, he's kind of the George Clooney of the Middle East. He just... there's a third of the world that adores him, and he isn't known here. It's really extraordinary. And I hope he becomes more well-known here. He certainly deserves to be. He's a wonderful actor. And he comes here occasionally. I think his son is going to a college in Santa Monica. But he's an extraordinary talent, and I hope you all look him up. And he's in a number of movies that are streaming all over the place. And he's an extraordinary talent. And take another look at him, and then look again after that.
Yeah, and Khalid was discovered by the same director who discovered Omar Sharif. The late Yusuf Shaheen, who discovered Omar Sharif. And Khalid played Omar Sharif, the young Omar Sharif, twice. And in one movie, he played the Omar Sharif in part of the film, and Omar Sharif, he completed the film in a movie called The Traveler. So he was kind of like the up-and-coming Omar Sharif in Egypt, and he's a huge star. And the reason I asked Bale to say something, because we went, both of us, to Abu Dhabi Film Festival to do the Middle East premiere. And just seeing the people, like we needed a bodyguard, you know, with us because of Khaled on the red carpet, and
oh, yeah.
You know, and the fans, and so it was an incredible experience.
Right, and when I didn't know you before, yeah. You know, how come everybody's coming?
So it was fun. So definitely,
no, it's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
He said he likes to. I saw him in Egypt, and he said he likes to come to the United States because what his favorite thing to do in the United States is go grocery shopping because he can't do that. And he's like, I can't go. I just can't go to a grocery store. He's like, I just want to go to Ralph's and order get some milk.
Pick up coffee.
I was like, what? I would love to not have to do that.
You can go to Egypt.
I can go to Egypt.
There's a restaurant in L.A. On Sunset in near Beverly Hills called Petit Four, and it caters to a lot of Europeans, and it caters to a lot of expats, and so I took them out to dinner there with my wife and his wife, and we walked in and we sat down, and there must have been 15 people who came up to him, and. It was a real education for us in terms of international filmdom, let me tell you, because they all knew who he was, and they were all so glad to see him. So that's why I'm saying, look for him everywhere, please, and write your congressman and your film studio about it.
Caleb, are you listening? So Sam, let's talk a little bit more about you. So his background is in engineering in Syria, right? And you wrote some plays, did some acting, and then you came to the United States to also do some theater and screen and scripts for plays as well. And you were a stand-up comedian for a while as well.
Yeah, I did a little bit of stand-up comedy as well. So when I came to the States, I came with a play that I wrote in Syria and won a few awards, and the play was acquired in the States, in particular in the state of Michigan. So I came with the play, I was the playwright, and I was the director and the lead actor in the play, which is typical for Middle Eastern, right? You do everything.
You do all of it.
Yeah, it's like, why would I leave anything to anyone? You know, I'll eat the entire cake, you know, so.
So much for criticism.
Yeah. It's just one person. Yeah, so I came to Michigan, and, you know, I've done some, you know, plays, and then I started doing some stand-up comedy. I did some radio. I did, you know, a few things, and then I, you know, I decided to go to film school. But at that time, when I came to the state, this is at that time I just graduated from engineering school. So by trade, I'm an engineer. But I knew, and in particular, my wife knew that this is where I want to be and where my heart is, and she pushed me for it. And you know, I'm grateful for her, and she's sitting right there. Thank you so much, Rola, for supporting me since day one. And it's been quite a journey, you know. So went to film school. I worked as an engineer in the state of Michigan for a few years before I, you know, went to school and studied filming, and then started a new career. Mm-hmm.
So you've made other films since you've made The Citizens. One of them is the Little Gandhi, mm-hmm. a documentary film, which focuses on the oppressive Syrian government and the violence it commits against civilian population, and how a nonviolent movement emerges in that context. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of chaos and violence, there springs hope from that for the possibility of bringing about change. And your most recent film was Lamia's Poem, an animated feature focusing on Syrian refugees being forced out of their country by the civil war that was going on there. And the main character is like a 12 or 13-year-old girl who falls in love with Rumi's poetry, is inspired by him. And that somehow sustains her in all the life-threatening situations she finds herself in, plus trying to adapt to a new land. So out of the chaos and the violence of conflict comes this hope of a new beginning, a new life, survival, and then finding something more inspiring in that. And I sense that there's a lot of autobiographical elements here, even, you know, going back to The Citizen, where again, you have a person coming with
the expectation of a better life, but being faced with all kinds of, you know, challenges, and not to mention the fact that, you know, the day after he arrives is this terrible catastrophe of the 9/11 attacks, but still somehow in the ashes of that catastrophe, you know, emerges this story of Ibrahim's success. Now one might think, oh, it's just scripted Hollywood script. But you've talked about a lot of the incidents that occur to Ibrahim are drawn from actual things that happened to Arab Americans or Muslim Americans in the aftermath of 9/11. Could you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, The Citizen is compiled of multiple true stories. I mean, for the most part, everything we've seen in the films, like, these are true events. I mean, besides, like, definitely 9/11, but I think the, you know, the story of him at the airport the day before, the story of him helping, you know, a Jewish kid in New York, that's, you know, another true story. The entire court case, it's based on the, you know, the first person who went under that Patriot Act and secret evidence, and the first actually public hearing for a case like this, it's based on that case, and which was the first and the last case to go public, and the first and last one to be won by, you know, by anybody who went under that act. And I had the opportunity to sit with that person and talk to him, and I had the idea before even I met with him that this is where I want to go with the story, but then I found out that actually there is a real story here, you know, and there's and somebody that we could facilitate that you meet with, and definitely we were still in the process of writing the script, so I went and I had, you know, few sit down with him, and his story is also incredible. I mean, it's not just he was about to get deported. He won the case, stayed in the United States, and after 3-4 years, he got his citizenship, and he ended up being named the Citizen of the Year in the state of, he was originally from Michigan also, and actually everybody who took him to jail, like, appeared at that event, including all the FBI members and the governors and the, you know. And I was like, I didn't want to take it that far because that's going to look very Disney-ish. It's going to look like there is no way on earth this happened. And but really, it happened. But I just, like, I was like, no, just he won the citizenship. He became a citizen. Let's end the movie right there. Don't take it any further. But yeah, these are real events and true stories that we compiled into the, you know, the character of Ibrahim, which is played by Khaled. And I thought that was really important, I think, again, to bring that perspective of, you know, an immigrant, the perspective of minorities and what they went through after 9/11, because we were all impacted by this. And a lot of these, you know, minorities or immigrants, they were also Americans, but they might look, you know, their skin tone might be different. They look might look, you know, different. They might have accent or whatever, but a lot of them also Americans, and they're very patriotic and they love this country and they're very loyal, and they were really heavily impacted. So I want to just give them an opportunity to, you know, to share their stories and talk about their struggles and talk about their challenges and talk about their love to America as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because they really not just struggled, but they believed at that time, I mean, all of us believed at that time that America going through very tough circumstances, and there are some consequences that we all have to face. So, I mean, even including myself, I mean, as an immigrant at that time, coming from a specific country, from Syria, I had to go through, for 2 years, through what they called special registration, mm-hmm. which every year I had to go to the immigration in downtown, you know, in Detroit to register and provide new information about where I am and where I live. And it was tough time, but, you know, I understood that it's okay. The country is going through, you know, tough challenges, and we have to understand that. But as a filmmaker later on, when I became a filmmaker, I was like, this is a story that, you know, needs to be told, and a fresh lens that I need to, you know, to use to just, you know, project something like this on the big screen. And I was lucky to find the right partners and right supporters and the right, you know, actors to work with me. And making a movie, as we all know, it's like, it's every movie gets born is a new miracle. so on Earth. So so I was really happy to be part of it.
Well, the one thing I'll just say, what he's just talked about was that that was evident every day on the set. There was a depth and a comprehension of what people had gone through that he wanted to give form to. That, you know, as an actor, I've been around a lot, tons and tons of directors for years, but it was very unique. I respected it enormously, and it made for an atmosphere of genuineness and truth. And that was very unique as an actor for something as complex as this subject is. I really felt that every day.
So in that regard, I'd like to ask Riz and Bill both in terms of what your thoughts are of the titling of the film, The Citizen. Because when I first heard that title, I thought, well, it's going to be the story of Ibrahim. But I think as you watch the film, that concept or that term citizen has multiple uses. And I was just wondering, you know, if you could comment on that.
Well, yeah, he's a citizen for, I think, 30 seconds of the entire movie. So for yeah, him, it's not just exactly. For him, right? Like, it's funny because I can say, you know, I wanted to watch it again today because it's been such a long time. And there's things that I'm learning about it again while watching it. And I think for most characters specifically, it's interesting to me how we forget why we wanted to be a citizen, because he also is an immigrant who came here, and he's I'm sure he had the same sort of like, you know, I'm gonna come here and for a better life for my kids and all these things, and we so easily forget why we came here. So it was a different, it was that scene when he's arguing with Ibrahim about going with his brother and the kids, it really rang true to me, because I was like, oh my God, I have to think about that myself. Do you know what I mean? We all experience this in different ways. So yeah, I think it wasn't just him being there. There was a lot of us we were all dealing with it. Even Agnes's character, right? Like, what does it mean mm-hmm. to your country that you were born in is doing this. How are you as a citizen reacting to these things? So I think everybody was dealing with this in this mm-hmm. movie.
Mm-hmm. It's and also, I mean, looking at the figure of Ibrahim, he's there at that demonstration earlier on exercising his right of free speech and public assembly, even before he knows that that's what he's doing, I think. And then he's willing to give blood after the 9/11 attacks. Yeah. You know, yeah. In fact, he wakes up in the morning and says, "We got to go give blood to Diane, the character Diane."
Yeah, I think that was actually a really fun scene, and I think true. I think I would have done the same, maybe just coming here first day and seeing a protest, and I've never participated in a protest in my life, and I would jump right in.
You'd be killed
in. And it was like, yeah, what are we talking about here? Who are we cheering for? Let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and Ibrahim just jumped right in, and he wants, to cheer and wants to be part of something he never experienced in the Middle East because of oppression and suppression. But he never knew that it's going to come back to haunt him at the end. And Bill, he went after him for it, you know, at the end of the movie. but I think he played it in a lovely way. And Agnes was also incredible in the movie. And I think that the two, you know, what I loved about, you know, the way they played it is like it feels like, you know, the West and East and, you know, in any imagination that you, in any way you could actually form that image of West and East, and on the two spectrum of like far left and far right, they ended up finding that common ground, and which is, you know, through love and understanding, and as we all could see through the movie, how, you know, the progression of Agnes' character in the film, and same thing for Khaled and his understanding for, you know, where he is right now, you know, in time, and what he needs to do and how he needs to look at life. I think they, at the end of the movie, they kind of like found that common ground, which is the message of the movie, that we all can find that common ground. I mean, that you know, what we have in common is way more than what we have, you know, in differences, and we can also, we can all of us find that common ground if we seek it, but just we have to seek it, and we have to be willing to seek it, and mm-hmm. we will find it. It's right there for us.
And also Maha. I mean, there's the other character that it didn't work out for, right? Like, we also have the character, she went back. It didn't work out for her. So there's also that's a story for a lot of people who came here and they're like, it didn't work out. We had to go back, you know?
Well, also what you were saying, what the citizen means, like, my mother's family is from North Dakota. My father's from New England. I married a Jewish girl in New York. My first boss was Rose Williams, a wonderful African-American woman at a superfood store that I was lucky enough to get a job in. Mm-hmm. We're all citizens. Everybody's a citizen. It's the same in that way. And that was on the set every day.
And I think that's because of, I think when you collaborate with people who, professionals and people who understand, talented people who understand what you're trying to do and what we're making here, and how critical, you know, the subject. And I mean, I think we were all every day on the same page, you know. Yeah. I mean, I could try to do everything I could in my ability, but if they're not collaborating and understanding, like, what are we trying to make here, will be very, very difficult. But everybody was very professional on set and made my life as a first-time filmmaker actually much easier. And I'll tell you, like, the court scene, I remember, because we shot the court scene almost in the middle of the shoot. For me, that was a nerve-wracking that I never shared with anybody. Like me, you know, sitting behind the monitor with like 100 people in the courtroom, and Bill and Kerry and Rizwan and everybody there.
That's Rizwan, stop laughing. You keep telling me, stop. You're ruining everything. Stop laughing.
So it was a difficult task, but they made it easier by, you know, by buying in and helping me out, you know. And even if they, at that time, it's funny because, again, I mean, look at it. I mean, definitely, I'm an immigrant. I came to this country 2000. Here we are in 2011. I'm shooting a feature film. It's a dream, definitely, that came true. I remember I was giving Kerry a comment. I will never forget this. I think about his performance, so I wanted to be delivered in a little bit in a different way. So the way I addressed him at that time, with my limitation, with, you know, my verbiage limitation at that time, is like, you know, just to deliver it in a, you know, in a quicker way or something. And he was like, you mean pick up the pace? And I was like, yes, pick up the pace. That's the right
faster
term.
Woo, faster.
I love it, you know. So it's just, but he was so lovely. Like, he didn't want me to feel like, you know, that I'm not using the right term, which I wasn't. But it was so lovely. They know exactly what I want, and so. But he was trying, also a teaching moment for me. It's like, maybe this is what you want to call it. And this is lovely. I mean, this is coming from accomplished people who's willing to work with you, teach you, and learn anything you have to, you know, to get him, you know, to learn as far as the idea and the feeling and the vibes and what's on the paper. So it was a lovely experience for sure.
Even though it was made something like 12 years ago, though, I find seeing it only recently, it still has echoes in terms of issues that our country is facing today. What are our civil rights? What is citizenship today? Mm-hmm. Who can have citizenship? You know, and are up for discussion and debate and argument now. What is the freedom of speech? What is the freedom to assemble and to protest? A lot of the issues that you identify so clearly in the film, you know, kind of reverberate to the present time.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's
the anti-Semitism, you know, the attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hot issues that we thought at that time they're very hot and very topical, and we wanted to address. I mean, it feels right now it's more topical than ever, and which is sad, to be honest. I mean, it's good for the film because we're gonna keep playing this film. But it's sad for the country and for us as people, because you want at a certain point to feel that you're learning something. You're learning something from the recent history. And I'm not talking about learning from something happened 100 years ago, you know, but just recent, you know, when we wanna when I wanted to make this movie, these are the issues I wanted to address because I felt that these topics are extremely hot. And now we're looking at it. We're looking at, you know, what we're addressing here. We're addressing xenophobia. We're addressing, you know, constitutional issues. We're addressing, you know, immigration. We're addressing freedom of speech, racism, anti-Semitism, like the whole, you know, spectrum of these issues. They are so hot, and freedom of speech, and you know, and again, the right to protest, and mm-hmm. you know, peacefully, and so, yeah. Unfortunately, we're gonna keep talking about this, and I mean, as filmmakers and as artists, and that's our job to keep talking about these subjects until we, you know, we see progress, and we see that we're, you know, moving on, and you know, and just doing better with it. But unfortunately, right now, where we are. Yeah, this, you know, this is very topical, unfortunately, and resonates with a lot of the stuff that's happening right now.
One of the lines in the animated feature, Lamia's poem, is the pain is where the light comes in. Mm-hmm. And in this film, you have Ibrahim talking about what his father taught him, that to reach your dreams, you need to plant good deeds. Mm. And this statement comes out in a confrontation that he has with Diane, I think, and she says, "Forget your good deeds" or something after
yeah, yeah, it's just
been cleaned out.
This garbage. Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, and I think it's repeated again during the film. Mm. And I was wondering if you could comment on that wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, I think that wisdom is like this is something that I heard from my grandma and from my mom when I was a little kid. I mean, always, you know, living in a household where. You know, you have caring parents and they want you to, you know, to care about humanity as well. I mean, one of the worst things that I think, unfortunately, our culture here and our kids learning is the word, like, I don't care. And it's always, it bugs me because that using that term is very harmful because you have to care. You know, because it's gonna come to haunt you if you don't care. Because at a certain point, the thing that you don't care about, it's gonna become your issue, but it's gonna be too late to handle it at that time. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where, you know what I mean? I mean, plant your good deeds and or whatever, you know, Rumi said in the animation film. And I think these are important statements and issues and wisdom that we learn from, you know, from our parents or grandparents. And I wish that we can pass it on to our own kids because these are really important statements. Unfortunately, the ambient and the environments, parenting right now, I feel maybe is the most difficult job on earth is parenting, you know, where we are right now. It's hard, you know, if you wanna raise kids that they really care. And they're knowledgeable, and they're aware, and they're not, you know, misguided by what's out there. I mean, I get my kids; they're sitting here. You know, it's like they got the news from TikTok. It's like I was like, "Where did you hear this on TikTok?" I was like, "Since when TikTok became the, you know, it's like the LA Times or you know the Wall Street Journal or something." But but that's the world we live in right now, and soon enough it will be AI, you know, and you will be watching a whole news that you're gonna find out a day later or a week later that actually the whole thing is fake and it's AI, and so it becomes very, very. Very difficult, I mean, as far as parenting. But that statement, I think, when we put it, yeah, it might sound a little cheesy, but that's what I heard when I was a little kid. And part of my experience was in The Citizen. You know, I want to put some of that stuff in there because, again, that's all true, this stuff that I heard, and that's an experience I want to, you know, to put on the big screen. And I think maybe that's what attracted, you know, the actors here because they just seen something maybe genuine and something possibly new, and I'm grateful that you know it came through this way.
It'd be nice to see more people learning that and practicing it in their everyday lives.
Yeah.
I have lots of other questions, but we want to take time to take questions from the audience. Like questions like, Bill, Sam, Riz, what are you working on now? What are you going to be, you know, what's going to be happening in the coming year or so? But let's take some questions and answers from the audience.
Thank you all so much for your time. It's been wonderful to hear your takes on this experience. Having seen this movie not for the first time, not for the second time, but for the third time now, what struck me is how much the limitations of the time period played, had an impact on the way that you shot the film. Obviously, this was shot at a time before iPhones and smartphones, and news having pervasive coverage and instantaneous access around the world. So my question to you is, how much do you think that informed the way that you shot the film? And you know, the characters as well, the lack of, you know, being able to communicate between different people. If you were to remake this film today, what changes would you make as far as the technological and the societal impact?
You know what, I mean, and I'll let you also speak on something like Bell on this, but I had a discussion with Dr. Juan before about, I really believe simplicity is very complex, to me at least. I feel it's one of the most complex things is to make things look simple. If you actually break down that movie, if you come to me and you say, let's say this is an assignment that's given to me, I'm a first-time filmmaker, and somebody's like, okay, we're going to make a movie, we're going to hire you, we're going to make a movie that address xenophobia, immigration, constitution, 9/11, a New York love story, Patriot Act, secret evidence. And I was like, I will immediately turn it down. Like, I was like, I cannot handle this. It's too much. It's too much. And every topic, it feels it needs its own film and its own story and its own script. And, but I think the key is how to keep things simple. And I think because it was my idea, you know, I managed to kind of like break it down. And was like, we're going to keep things simple, even though that these are extremely complex issues. And you have to be careful how you address it, because you might get really, really burned big time by addressing this on the big screen in the wrong way. So every single document, every single statement, every single issue, especially when it comes to politics, needs to be vetted, needs to be studied, needs to be, you know, we had an immigration lawyer that, you know, worked with us since day one, and he was even on set, if you remember, doing the court scene for the actors to talk to him and ask him. So, but for me, is like, how can we keep it really simple? So, and how we can create this where, I have no interest in nobody coming to watch this movie and leaving confused. And this is not my school. I mean, some other directors might love it this way, where, you know, when you leave the movie and you're like, I am not really sure what exactly he meant, but I think he wanted this or he wanted that. I'm different school. I like you to leave with specific things that I want to deliver to you. Otherwise, I feel, what's the point? Like, if you feel so confused, you can draw the conclusion, your own conclusion, that's fine. But I don't want to, I'm not in the business to confuse you. So I wanted to keep it simple. I wanted to, anybody who walks in to this theater or to any theater to watch this movie to understand what we're talking about, regardless of how complex the issue is. Like, the court scene is a great example of how we broke down things. Like, when we talk about secret evidence and Kerry, he's saying, like, how could it be, you know, secret and it's evident? Like, that analogy, it immediately is like, oh my God. Like, yeah, how is that possible? You know, we're not gonna dig so deep into this, we don't have time. So we're gonna try to keep it simple. So I think even if I shoot this movie right now, I think I'll try to keep it honestly kind of like the same, because I don't wanna like overcomplicate things, and I don't wanna come across as super angry. I mean, you might look at this movie and you feel like, oh, this is a very hopeful movie. But again, when you break it down, it's like, how can you be hopeful with all that these disasters in this film? You know, it's, well, you still that light at the end of the tunnel. And I want it to be this way. And this is based on truth events and true things. So it's not like I'm coming up with this thing. You know, he won the citizenship. The real guy I met with, you know, he got his citizenship. He won the case. He went through a lot of struggles. You know, he was thrown in jail. So, but then, you know, he managed to pull through. So I don't think I will change much, you know, honestly. And if I do, you know, this film, redo this film again, I mean, I think I will approach it separately. I mean, I hope, and I wish I'll have more money, you know, maybe to, you know, do others, you know, just maybe open up a few things. But again, making it also little, kind of like it feels like there's a lot of interior scenes in the film, but I think that also comes from people being afraid at that time. Like at that time, nobody wants to leave. Like it comes from the fear factor that I wanted to address. You know, it's like we're not making a movie that I want to show you the landscape of New York and how beautiful New York is, and let's go out and have some fantastic, you know, scenery stuff. It's like this is not the right movie for. So, I think, you know, I think I would possibly make very close film even if I make it, you know, right now.
Well, the other thing I'm thinking just in terms of what he's saying is that I was taught years ago that all beauty is in making one of opposites. And the fact of it was there was all of this going on. At the same time, you have this singular person living all that was going on. So how do you put those two things together in a way that enriches both? That's really what I was taught years ago, and that I always look to when I do anything, and sometimes I make it and sometimes I don't. But that's kind of, to me, the rule, and that's what Sam dealt with, and I thought that he did it in an exemplary way.
I'm gonna frame that, Steve. Bill Atherton.
Thank you so much for being here. So we've noticed in the past 5 years or so, ever since Crazy Rich Asians came out, there's been a lot of great improvement on Asian American representation, even building to more nuanced, multidimensional representation like Everything Everywhere All at Once. Jack Shaheen, who researches Arab representation in Hollywood, talks about how Arab characters in media often only fall into categories like sheiks or terrorists with very rare exceptions, such as The Citizen. And in your experiences as actors and filmmakers, how have the roles made for Arab or Muslim characters changed in the past decade? And do you see it becoming more diverse or representative in the future? And what do you think it'll take to do so? Thank you.
I always try to look at things in a positive way. It's been hard. You know, as I said early on, this was a rare thing that I would be offered. A lot of stuff was exactly what you say. I think recently we're getting better. There's definitely shows like Rami, and you mentioned that I did this movie called Mustache. It's an independent film, and it's the thing I love about the movie, which is what I don't see of people that look like us, is it's just a simple movie about a father and his son who's going through puberty and has a mustache that he wants to shave that his dad doesn't want him to shave. And I never saw those movies about us. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I talk about it, you're like, wait, they made a movie about this? But I think I craved this growing up, seeing movies that were just about these little things about life, about us. Because you're right, everything I saw was, oh, either, you know, they're terrorists, as you say, or it was just, that's what I would see on screen. And honestly, I would crave that as well, because I needed to see something. So anytime I saw something, I'd be like, oh my God, there's a brown person on screen, and I love it. So I do feel that because of these little things that are happening now that we see, I feel a positive change to it. We're definitely not there. We are a long way from being there. But I feel like we're getting there, and you know, movies like this also help.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, thanks for bringing up the late Jack Shaheen. He was a friend that I've known him through The Citizen, and he mentioned The Citizen in one of his books and some articles and talk about it, because, again, these type of movies that address these kind of issues through that kind of lens, they're very few. So I'm grateful for him because he's an icon. And as Rizwan said, definitely there's an improvement. We're still, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. Even myself, I sit on the Asian American Committee at the Directors Guild in Los Angeles, and it's been years and years. Now I think this is my possible 9 years or something that since I joined that committee. And we have at the Directors Guild, for instance, the, you know, the Asian American Committee, we have the African American Committee, the Women's Steering Committee, the LGBT Committee. We have like five committees, and the Hispanic committees. And I think what we do is always try to encourage diversity, and we monitor this, and we ask questions, and you know, and we try to, you know, force the board to, you know, to be involved and to report to us about, you know, who's making what and who's hired and who's not, and what, you know, what are the reasons. And we were a huge supporter of Crazy Rich Asian in any movie. I mean, we bring the director, because the director is Asian as well, you know, to talk to us and how we can help. So I think we're taking steps toward making it, you know, better. But again, it's going to take all of us to get involved. You know, again, I mean, I remember when I became part of the Directors Guild, which is a dream came true. Like, I never even thought that would be even possible for me. And I screened this actually at the Directors Guild in Los Angeles in New York. And it was an incredible moment to be on stage. I mean, how I was so privileged just to be on the stage at that time to do something like this. But I wanted to get involved, and I asked if there is a Middle Eastern committee or Arab committee, and they're like, well, we're working on that, but the closest you can get is possibly the Asian American committee. Isn't Syria part of what continent? I was like, yeah, we're kind of like part of Asia. That's, you know,
West Asia.
The food's a lot different. Yeah, the food is a lot different.
I was like, yeah, the food is a little different, but you know, we're cool. We're cool with all Asian, and I'll be part of this. So it's just I think the urge, feeling the urge to be involved and to try to help and to be helped, and I think made me as like, okay, I'll join. And you know, since that day, I'm still on the Asian American committee. And again, because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, that diversity. I mean, regardless of where I come from, and we meet with the other committees. So there is a lot of work to be done, and I think sometimes we feel it's getting more difficult, just because sometimes the political climate, you know, stands in your way, because you just feel like you're making a progress, and all of a sudden you're taking so many steps backward, and it's like, you know, but you can't stop. You just can't. It's not even a choice. You have to keep, you know, plugging away and keep pushing. So I hope we can all help each other to, you know, to encourage, you know, diversity and to support each other, and you know, because that's the way. I mean, the entire world is a small village. I mean, nobody can deny this, right, Bill?
Right.
Let's thank our guests, these amazing artists for producing such a magnificent films, but sharing their commitments and their values with us tonight too, in a very meaningful way. So.
Dr. Juan, thank you so much for moderating this. Appreciate it. And for Carsey Wolf and, you know, everybody in charge here at Emily and the entire team. And I'm grateful to be back. Last year I was here for the, you know, the animation, and now we're the citizens. So I'm grateful to be at this beautiful theater and to be, you know, again, loved by UCSB and everybody. So, and thank you so much for joining me and joining us and having us here. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.